my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you once again, as we've been doing for 30 years in this part of the world with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving Southwest Florida, and our friends over at WAEC, Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, also on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends over at WTMR, 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And, you know, I'm very grateful for them. And it's in partnership with them that we get to come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you've been with us, you know that we're going through a mini-series within a series. The big series is on the portraits of God. I see portraits of God throughout the Scripture. This three-part series within that series is on one particular portrait, how He is our whispering wisdom. He is our whispering wisdom. We started it last week. This is message number 2 out of 3 on it. And we're going to be going to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that if you've missed any of these messages or you just want to listen to them again, I have great news. You can go to my website where they are archived at markpg.org. Just click on the broadcast box and it'll take you to this Portraits of God series. Also on that website, you'll find videos, 3-minute videos. These are 27-minute broadcasts, by the way, but the videos are 3-minute videos on various portraits of God as well. I also have articles for a column I've been writing for about 25 years for a local publication. And then some one-page quick guides on devotional topics and on hot topics that I trust you will find helpful, because they're all designed for one thing, to help you hear God. So that's at markpg.org. Now, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so grateful to be able to come together with my brothers and sisters every weekend and for so many years, just to take a journey through the Scriptures, to see Your heart, to see Your character, to see Your portraits. Today, as we continue a journey in seeing how You are our whispering wisdom, I pray that we will see it clearly, receive it deeply, and walk in it. As You are indeed constantly whispering wisdom from above for us. And there's no greater time than these days, this COVID era that was spawned 3 years ago, all the domino effects with economic uncertainty and anger and disagreement. I mean, we just need wisdom from above like never before, Lord. So thank You for this journey we get to take together. We're ready to receive it and walk in it. And Lord, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing, healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. pardon me there. All right. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's get started. As you find your place there in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to look at takeaway number 4 out of 10. And by the way, just a quick reminder, the first three were this, the Lord's whispered wisdom is number 1, given when we're ready. It's given when we're ready. John 16, verse 12. I have many more things to say to you, said Jesus. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And I love that, by the way. I'm glad He doesn't overload us with wisdom from above. Couldn't handle it. So He gives it to us when we're ready. Number 2, the whispered wisdom of God is revealed spirit to spirit. The next verse there in John 16, verse 13 puts it this way. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. So here we talked about how He, by His Spirit, reveals to our spirit His truths from above. Head knowledge is a part of it, heart knowledge or, you know, senses is part of it, but at the deepest part of our core is our spirit. Listen for His Spirit in your spirit. Then number three, and this is a sobering thought and reality, that the Lord's whispered wisdom is not receivable by some. My friends, there'll be times you'll be speaking or sharing your heart and the wisdom of God with some, and they will just not be able to receive it. This is Acts chapter 6, verse 10, says this specifically, but they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So here the men of God were speaking the truths of God, but they couldn't receive it. They couldn't cope with it. By the way, we get the same picture in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the marvelous manifestation of God on that day in a crowd of people. And some were embracing it. They saw it. They heard it. They received it. They were blessed. But there were others who said, they're just drunk with wine. They don't know what's going on. They couldn't see it. They had dull ears. They had blinded eyes. They had hard hearts. And by the way, let's not be too hard on them, because we too have areas in our lives and times in our lives when we can become dull of ear, have a hardened heart, and have some blind spots that we can't see. Sometimes the whispered wisdom of God is not receivable by some. So don't let that discourage you. You keep offering what you know to be true, like hors d'oeuvres on a platter. If they take and eat, great. If they're not going to take and eat, well, that's their decision. Don't think ill of them or get mad at them. Like a good host or hostess, circle back with your hors d'oeuvres and offer again at another day, but let them have the choice to take and eat and be blessed or not. But the reality is, the Lord's whispered wisdom is not receivable by some. Now here's number four. Oh, I love this one. The whispered wisdom of God is marked by genuine humility. There's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. And the difference, one difference, is that wisdom is marked by genuine humility. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 puts it this way. But we know that we all have knowledge. That is, we know stuff. But knowledge makes arrogant. Or another translation puts it this way. Knowledge puffs up. But love, it edifies. And of course, love is really hallmarked by humility itself as well. Wisdom, love from above, marked by humility. I had a lot of very, very knowledgeable seminary professors years ago when I was doing my master's and doctoral work. I was blessed by all of them, to be sure. Some particularly gifted, particularly smart, particularly well-read, particularly articulate. They all blessed me in many ways. But one particular professor had the biggest impact on me than all the others. His name was Dr. T.W. Hunt, and it was his genuine, humble wisdom that spoke to me far more deeply than all the head knowledge I was getting at the time, all the books. Now, I'm not saying don't study. I'm not saying that, but I am saying go deeper. There are deeper things, deeper ways to receive that knowledge so you're not puffed up. And Dr. Hunt just had a way of always walking in a manner that was so humble and appreciative of the enormity and the grace of God that every time I left his presence, rather than just wanting to be with him, he made me want to be with Jesus, just like he was always hanging out with Jesus. You see, I had him at 8 o'clock in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. His course was Intro to Church Music. I honestly remember next to nothing about the content of that course, but what I do remember is how every time he'd come into that classroom that early in the morning, he'd be coming from his special quiet time or devotional time with the Lord. And he'd just kind of come in and he'd sit down, and the first thing he would say was, guys, before we get into the topic today, I just got to tell you, I was just spending some time with the Lord. And he was showing me, and then he'd get into some different things that the Lord was showing him. I don't even remember the specifics that he said about what the Lord was showing him, but what I'll never forget is the way that he said it, with a humble, genuine, appreciation and gratefulness and touch from the Lord God of the ages. Do you know people like that? They're the ones that are hearing the whispered wisdom of God, not just accumulating data and information about God. You know, to try to illustrate it a little more clearly, you may have heard of the word sophomoric. Somebody's being sophomoric. Where do we get that from? Well, it's the idea that, you know, there's nobody smarter in the world than a sophomore, whether it's a sophomore high school student, you know, that is a teenager giving his parents problems or her parents problems because they think they pretty much know what life's about, and of course they're clueless. They don't know how much they don't know yet. When they're freshmen and going to high school for the first time, they're kind of scared, so they're kind of open to be, you know, trained and encouraged by their parents. But then they come sophomores, I know what I'm doing now, and, you know, those seniors don't know big a deal. You know, I can do this. I know what life's about. Man, you really don't. Same thing with a second-year college student, whatever your field of study. Is it history? Is it science? Is it biology? Or a second-year or sophomore law student, or a sophomore theology student, or a sophomore medical student. They know just enough to be dangerous, but not enough to be good. Why? Because they know much more than the average person as a sophomore. They've been focused and studied on it. So in their minds, they know way more than the average person, so they're eager to want to help the average person out. But what they don't realize is how much they really don't know. And it's a lot more complex than they think it is. And the advice they're giving is sophomoric. It's not full and seasoned and full of the nuances and the caveats that they need to understand. And so you got to weather through these people as they're going through their sophomoric seasons of study. If you wanted to illustrate that, I can remember vividly my journey. You know, I was excited about going to seminary. I went in thinking, all right, all the questions I ever had about God are going to be answered. And sure enough, first year, man, yeah, I was kind of overwhelmed. There's so much going on. I'm just collecting as much as I can. Sophomore year, I'm getting really, man, I can do this. I'm practically a, you know, graduated preacher and da-da-da by now. But what I wasn't seeing was that there's not just one learning curve. There are two. The first learning curve is the one that's going up faster than the average person of knowledge about the Bible or medicine or law or whatever being received. What we don't see is the second one, kind of like a double rainbow. You see one rainbow pretty clearly, but then faintly high above it, there's another one there. Well, faintly high above the first learning curve is the curve of the things that I don't know about God. And when I began to get into my later years, junior and senior and graduate school, for every one new thing I learned about God, the first learning curve, that opened up five more questions that I hadn't even thought about, the answers to which I did not know. That learning curve was going up faster. There are more things I'm learning that I don't know than the things that I'm learning to know. I hope you got that, because it's that gap. It's the fact that the more I learn things about the ways of God, there are more things I learn that I don't know about the Lord. These questions unanswered. And the gap gets bigger and bigger as I get older and older. And that's why those that are seasoned in life in the Lord are humble. Now, there are exceptions. There are those who never figure out there's a second curve. But those who are really going deeper in the Lord are learning that though I know a lot about the Lord and His ways as I get older and older, I'm also discovering there's way more that I don't know. And you know what? I'm okay with that. The Lord has put me on a need-to-know basis, and I don't need to know everything. Couldn't handle it anyway if I had it. I'm perfectly fine being on a need-to-know basis. And that is the hallmark of genuine humility. Someone who's hearing the whispers of God as wisdom from above, savoring it, not worrying about what they don't know, but savoring what they do know. And that's a beautiful thing. Do you hear the whispering wisdom of God, who is our whispering wisdom? Are you grateful for what you do know? And are you just coming to that place where it doesn't matter what you don't know, you just trust Him? See, that's where the peace comes. That's true wisdom from above. Well, as we continue our journey, may I share with you a fifth takeaway of how the Lord is our whispering wisdom, that number one, is given when we're ready. Number two, revealed spirit to spirit. Number three, not receivable by some. Number four, marked by genuine humility. And number five, through the tool of Scripture. Now, I worded that very carefully. The whispered wisdom of God is through the tool of Scripture. We must have the Scripture to know what is true and wise about God. Without it, we don't know. However, there is a danger here. Though what I just said is totally true, we can fall into the trap of focusing more on the Scripture than we focus on the Lord. And Jesus warns us about that in the Scriptures by warning the Pharisees over in John chapter 5, verse 39. Listen to this. "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me." Did you get that? They were so focused on the Scriptures and then creating a law to go with it and then making people follow the letter of the law and stuff. They got so caught up in the Scriptures themselves, they could quote it at an arm's length. They read it all the time. Well, okay, good. But if you stop there, you're missing the point. These point up. Don't stop there with Bible knowledge, Bible memory, biblical theology and stuff. Go through that to see Jesus himself, because they're there to testify about Jesus. You see, the Scripture is a tool, not a focus. Jesus is our focus. If you end up being so focused on the Scripture itself, trying to obtain Bible knowledge and theological frameworks and develop arguments to justify your belief system that you've concocted and stuff, my friends, you have crossed the line into biblical idolatry. You've become more having a greater affection for the Scriptures than with the Lord himself. It's one of those idols that sneaks up on you. Any good thing, like the Bible, any good thing that begins to garner your focus and your affection greater than Jesus has become an idol. Don't let Bible knowledge become your focal point. They point to Jesus himself. That's why you hear me refer to the Scripture as love letters to us, or how it's full of portraits of God. You use the Scripture as a tool to see the heart, the character, the portraits of God. And the more you get to know him, the more you can discern whether or not the thoughts spinning around in your heart emotionally or in your head intellectually are of God or not. If they're consistent with his character, with his portraits, they're of God. If they're not, they're not. It's that simple. Whispering wisdom of God is through the tool of Scripture. Use it as a tool. Let me just give you a quick example about that. I mean, over the years, I've traveled quite a bit around the world in mission trips and things like that. And I tell you, as much as I love traveling and seeing the sights and meeting the people and doing the ministry and all, I get homesick for my family, for my wife. And I would love to take out this incredible little candy bar size thing from my pocket and dial up my wife. And halfway around the world, whether I was in Paris or Moscow or wherever I was, I could just talk to her and be so refreshed. Now, let me ask you a question. When I hung up that phone, was I going, "Thank you, Lord, for this cell phone. I love this cell phone. This cell phone is so refreshing to me. It's an amazing gift from above." No, I didn't praise God for the cell phone. I was praising God for my wife on the other end of that tool. Now, it's an indispensable tool, and I'm grateful for the tool because it connects me to the one I love. That's the scripture. It is a cell phone to hear the heart of God. Grateful for the tool, need the pool, have to have it to get connected to the truths of God, just like I have to have a cell phone in, wherever I am, in Israel or in Egypt or in China or wherever I am. I have to have the tool to talk to my wife, but I'm more grateful for my wife than the tool, and I'm more grateful for Jesus than the scriptures. Oh, the whispering wisdom of God is through the tool of scripture. Similarly, we come to number six because we are so prone to getting sidetracked. Number six is how the whispered wisdom of God is often obscured by religious traditions. It's often obscured by religious traditions. Let me take you to Mark chapter 7, verse 13. Mark 7, 13. Basically, Jesus is saying, you are thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. Well, he was talking about how the Pharisees, and with all their traditions, had obscured the very truths and wisdom of God because they got people thinking about all of these works, all of these do's and don'ts that they had concocted. Now, here's the thing. They were well-intended in creating this system to try to honor God. They were very sincere, but they were sincerely wrong, and they let their system of religious traditions obscure the wisdom and truths of God. Now, it's easy to be hard on the Pharisees, how they created these works and all, but here's the reality. We all do that to one degree or another. In fact, one of the best books I've read in the last few years, I've read it several times, really helpful to me, is called The Cure. The Cure. What if God isn't who you think he is, and neither are you? It's a wonderful little book. It's a half parable or story like The Pilgrim's Progress, but the other half unpacks it. It helps you take the journey into your own heart. It goes through the side doors to see to what degree you're doing the Christian life by works, which kills, or by grace, which gives life. Basically, I'm just going to give you the setup. The pilgrim or the walker, the guy in the story, comes to a crossroads, and there's an arrow pointed one direction that says, pleasing God. Then an arrow pointing the opposite direction that says, trusting God. What is this, a trick question? It's got to be both. He goes off towards pleasing God, and he comes to this big lodge, a big inn, but he calls it a room, called the Room of Good Intentions, or the Inn or the Lodge of Good Intentions. He goes in, and people are nice and sweet. How are you? It's nice to have you. Oh, please come. But there's something kind of plastically about it, and you start trying to have real conversation. How are you doing today? How's it going? Oh, fine, fine. I'm fine. Well, how's your family? Oh, they're fine. Fine. Are you fine? Hey, we're all fine. And if you ever try to get into some really deep stuff, no, we don't talk about that around here. Let's just kind of do this. It's living with masks and pretense and performance works. You get frustrated there. He got frustrated there. He leaves it. Goes back to the crossroads, trusting God, huh? Goes to a road less traveled. Ends up at a room or the lodge of grace. Walks in. Pours out his heart of frustration. They say, that's all you got? We've been there, done that. We're still working on it. Come on in. You're just one of us. But we have a Savior who really cares and loves us. And the book takes you on an incredible journey of seeing how we subtly fall prey to doing Christianity by works like Pharisees, which kills, rather than the life-giving way of doing it by grace. You see, the whispered wisdom of God is often obscured by religious traditions. We are so caught up trying to do the right things and look good. It's like creating wax apples and painting them red just like so they'll look real, and putting a little piece of wood with a stem and from afar, it looks like a real apple. But you take a bite and it's waxy. That's what we do. That's performance-based. That's facade Christianity. The real apples, when you bite into it, they're juicy. And there's a huge difference. Oh, my friend, don't let religious traditions obscure the whispered wisdom of God that he's wanting you to receive. And I hope you'll get the book, The Cure, What If God Isn't Who You Think He Is and Neither Are You. As I mentioned, in fact, I've read it about 7 times in 3 years because I'm at different places in my life. And it goes into the side doors of your heart to see where you need healing in areas that you didn't even think you needed healing. You didn't even know where you're wounded in that area. But the Lord uses it and the scriptures and his whispered wisdom to help us see the innermost things of the heart, that he can cure us at the innermost places of the heart and bring us to healing and restoration and life. Oh, he is our whispering wisdom, my friend, whose wisdom is given when we're ready, revealed spirit to spirit, not receivable by some, marked by genuine humility through the tool of scripture, but often obscured by religious tradition. Well, Lord, we're so grateful for how you take us on this journey of learning how to listen for your whispered wisdom. Thank you for being that kind of God for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Oh, check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with your whispered wisdom.